All right, grab your Bibles, turn over with me to the epistles of John. There's a first, there's a second, and there's a third. And I want you to turn with me tonight just to 2 John, if you will. And 2 John, there's no chapter, it's just 2 John. And so we're going to focus on this little epistle tonight, if you will. And I don't know about you, it's oftentimes in prayers meeting, we share about the concerns, about the things we have. It's oftentimes the things we pray for, what we're concerned about. And that can be, of course, our health and or our needs and or the needs of others. Totally legitimate concerns. Sometimes people are concerned about their family, their children. That's what gray hair is all about. Amen. We're concerned about those things. Some are concerned about, what's the state of the nation? Where are we headed? But in this epistle, it's interesting, in this little letter, this is what we should be concerned about, and it's truth. Truth. That should be our primary concern. We should have a concern for truth, because I don't know if you realize this, we live in a world of lies, right? Not just, fake news, right? That they seem to be a propagator of it, right? But the influence of darkness is there, right? There is a demonic influence. Paul says so in Ephesians chapter 2. The spirit of the air is the spirit of darkness. And individuals don't always embrace the truth. Oftentimes they either deny it, and if not, if they can't deny it, then they'll try to distort it. That's how the devil works. So all he's got to do is take the truth, right, and just twist it just a little bit. It's what he did in the garden. It's the example, the paradigm for us so many times. And he wants us to realize, listen, if he can get us to just understand the truth, but in a twisted way, he can really wreak havoc in our lives. If we don't realize that there's a battle for truth out there, a battle for truth not just out there, but in my head, in my heart, will I believe the truth? If I can get you, persuade you, to believe that God is Jehovah Jireh, what does that mean? What does that name mean? What is that truth behind that name? Well, it means that he's the one who sees to it. He's the provider. He's the giver. He supplied that for the father of faith, Father Abraham. He saw to it, providing what was needed. If I can convince you to that truth, well, think about how that affects your life. If I believe that God is my supplier, my provider, then I don't have to live with anxiety and worry, do I? No. If I deny that fact, then I am going to have anxiety. I am going to worry. I'm going to fret and wring my hands at times. I just don't know. If I can persuade you, even tonight, can I remind you God is sovereign? Oh, big word. Uh-oh, watch out. Yeah. If that's true, then the events that are happening in my life, seemingly, which to some are just happenstance, sometimes, oh, that's just random. Hold up. Have I forgotten the truth? I mean, even a little bird doesn't fall to the ground without him knowing it. The hairs that are left on my head, amen, he knows them all, the number and the color, amen. The tears that you and I shed over events and circumstances in our life, he puts them in a bottle. He's mindful of all these things. Don't forget that truth. It'd be easy to. It's really easy to. The enemy wants you and I to not acknowledge that truth. He wants us to deny that. Because if he does, then life is just fate, right? I got no control. I can't do anything about it. I might as well just give up. There's no hope. Man can't live without hope. You see, the battle is always going to be over truth. And since truth is who God is, all truth is God's truth, John's writing to this church, and his concern for them is the truth. Now, here's the interesting thing. In verses 1 through 3, he says, this church, the church is supposed to be a community of truth. We're built on truth. Truth and love, right? Those are the two pillars of the church. Hebrews 13 really highlights this for us. Truth is what draws our boundaries. We all believe the truth. It just happens to be tied to a person, the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. We draw our boundaries there, and how we behave is based on being in the box of truth where our boundaries are. The lies are on the outside. We've drawn our boundaries together around truth, our God. And then we love because we know the truth. And the truth has changed us. But notice what he says here in verses 1 through 3, this community of truth. The elder, that's John, the pastor, he pastored the church there in Ephesus. To the elect lady and her children, whom I love, notice this, in truth. And not only I, but also those who have known the truth. Why? Because of the truth which abides in us and will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, and peace will be with you from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. Now, four times he highlights that. Do you see that? The children whom I love in truth, the ones who have known the truth, because the truth is abiding with us, and he will love us always in truth and in love. The truth is in us individually. These are the children of truth, the ones that have known the truth. John loves those who know the truth. You should, and I should, love those that are in the box together. We draw our boundaries together. And we should love those who are in the truth. Grateful for them. It abides not just individually, but corporately. We experience and we express sincere love for those who are in the truth. And we do that as a witness. It's for the sake of the truth, to bear witness to the world out there, again, that's under the influence of the dark one, the world of lies, the world of deception. I would say the world needs to see the truth. They're blind. We once were there. Remember that? We once didn't know the truth. Now, Paul would say over in 1 Timothy chapter 3, church, we're the pillar and support of the truth. We're the ones that are supposed to be holding it up. As Brother Danny shared, just stopping and thinking how, listen, not just the church has let it down, but individual believers where God has placed us, we're letting the truth down instead of holding it up. We have it individually, corporately, but then the church, it's not just in this building, y'all. It's when we go out there, we are the church. And we are supposed to be the community that's bringing the truth, demonstrating the truth, holding it up for all to see. Why? Because did you see this? This truth, it abides forever. It's going to abide in us and will be with us forever. This is what you can take to the bank. The truth never changes. There's not some new contemporary understanding. It doesn't have to be upgraded to version 2.0. The truth is the truth. That's why it's a foundation for us. It's a ground upon which we stand. It's a truth which we hold up. And as the children of truth, we should look like the Father of truth, the Son who is truth. You know, you see, you know, I walk by some of these tables. I love seeing the seniors, the graduates. And I just saw one when I was coming down the hallway. And man, you look at her and you go, man, that you look just like your mama. You know, boys look just like their daddy. You know, we're supposed to look like our Father. As children of truth. We should act like him, live like him. We should demonstrate that family likeness that we share with his Son. Jesus, of course, said that he came. Remember when he was before Pilate? This is why he came into this world, to bear witness to the truth. Now, that's our responsibility. He's our head. We're his body. What should we be bearing witness to? The truth. And we should be concerned about that. You know, our hearts, our homes, when we gather as the family of faith in this sanctuary. The heart is a warehouse for idols. And an idol is not the truth. It's a distortion of the truth. And Christ came to deliver us from that. In fact, what's fascinating, hold your place right here. Go back to 1 John. Just flip over one page. I love how John, in his epistle, he's made two great statements about who God is, about God being love and God being light in him, there's no darkness at all. Y'all, he is the real truth, right? There's no way. But at the end, he told them, little children, guard yourself from idols. And idols are distortions of the truth. Idols are distortions of who God is and what God is like. And so it's not surprising here, he's going to say, listen, realize it is quite possible that you and I might entertain thoughts that aren't worthy of the Lord because they're not true. And we need to guard against that. As realizing who we are. The world doesn't care about truth. We care about truth. Like, it is everything for us. When you live in a world of relativism, everybody has their own truth, right? But you can't function in that world. That'd be, like, listen, I dare you to try that this weekend, right? Driving down the highway or down the two lane and deciding to drive on the left-hand side of the line. That will not go well for you. Or someone else, right? Why? The truth is, you should be on the right hand, unless you're in England, you should be on the, and I've never figured that out, on the right side, literally the right side, right? You don't get to define your truth. We practice that every day. You know, ask them, well, do you drive on the left side of the road if it's your own truth? No, they don't do that. You can't function that way. And yet that's the world we live in. But we should be concerned about the truth. Now, why? Well, he's concerned about our obedience to the truth. I rejoice greatly, verse 4, that I found some of your children. Oh, if it had only been all. I rejoice greatly that I found some of your children walking in truth, as we received the commandment from the Father. Now I plead with you, lady, not as though I write a new commandment to you, but the one that which we've had from the beginning, that we love one another. This is love, that we walk according to his commandment. And this is the commandment that you have heard from the beginning. You should walk in it. And we should always rejoice when children walk in the truth, when some obey the truth. That's what his desire is. That's what the Father delights in. He wants us to obey. To obey. The great hymn of the faith. Trust and obey, because there's no other way than to be happy in Jesus, than to trust and obey. Now remember, that's what Jesus said in the Great Commission. All authority has been given to me as you're going, wherever you go. Ready? All authority has been given to me as you go. And what are we supposed to be doing? We're supposed to be making disciples. We make disciples. And how do you make a disciple? Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then teaching them to obey all that I've commanded you. To obey the truth. It's not enough to know it in my head. I've got to put it in practice. Because if I don't put it in practice, I really don't believe it. That's essentially how you would be thinking as a Christ follower. The desire is that all would obey. That's what God calls us to. That's what God desires. And when we fail to do that, we're failing to represent him as we ought. And the greatest way to demonstrate that, he says, is this commandment. If we're walking in truth with this commandment, what is this commandment? Well, it's nothing new, y'all. We've had it. It's the same one that we've had from the beginning. And it's just this. Let's love one another. Let's love one another. Love is the fulfillment of the law, Romans 13:10. That's what Paul said. The whole law is established on a rightly oriented, all the commandments boil down to love. Either you love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And what's the second commandment? It's kind of like that. Love your neighbor, who's made in God's image, as yourself. Love. Not law. The law is built on love. Our obedience flows out of our love. That's why I have to guard my heart, make sure I love the truth first. Otherwise, I'm going to be loving an idol, something that isn't truly representative of God. And if I do, then I will distort his commandments, what he tells me to do, and I won't fulfill what I'm supposed to be doing. He's concerned that you be devoted to the truth tonight. This is a healthy exercise for us. How much of the truth am I putting into practice? How much am I fleshing out in my faith? This is an emotional love, right? This isn't some feeling. No, it's a will. It's the desire. I delight to do thy will. There's a joy in obeying. When we've parented long enough, y'all, right? You remember when we told them, clean your room. I'll go do it, right? Stomping, right? Oh, come back. No. We want you to be obeying from a happy heart. Otherwise, what good is it, right? This is what he's saying. The Father wants us to love this way. The reason is, remember, if the truth, the boundary is the truth where we draw our boundaries. We're inside. Who's on the outside? The world and the lies. There's opposition to the truth out there. We shouldn't be arguing about the truth in here. We know the truth. It's what's drawn our common boundaries. And we demonstrate that when we practice love towards one another. Not a feeling. Well, I don't feel like loving them, preacher. No, it's a commandment. It's a desire. It's a will. I don't know if I can do it. No, you probably can't, but the Spirit of God within you can. When you die to self and you allow him to change your heart and the way you look at, we look at one another through the blood of Christ, not holding things against one another, forgiving one another. But out there, there's opposition to the truth. That's what verses 7 through 9. Hey, y'all, there are many deceivers. Those are liars. That means not truth. Many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we do not lose those things that we've worked for, but that we may receive a full reward. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. But if anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, hey, don't even receive him into your house nor greet him, for he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. How do you deal with the opposition to the truth out there? Well, first we got to watch ourselves. You got to watch. Literally, the idea here, when he says look to yourselves, it is be alert, right? Be vigilant. Don't ever become complacent. I mean, the devil is sneaky. He's a snake. In fact, Paul would say there's times he can appear as an angel of light. He is really, really deceptive. Now, I've got to be very discerning. And what's going to help me to be discerning? I need a plumb line. Where's the plumb line come from? The truth. Doctrine. That's why we're doing it this year. I'm trying to give you a plumb line that by which I can discern truth and a lie. Those are of God. Those are of the devil. I got a doctrine. I got a plumb line. I got to watch myself, make sure I'm always embracing the truth. Now, watch for the outsiders. Well, who are they? Well, we know that they don't acknowledge Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. That he's the incarnate Son of God. They don't listen. If they don't abide in the doctrine of all that Christ has taught us, if they come to, you know, do a bait and switch, give you another book that they have, some other revelation, punt that. No, I got enough right here. It's all I need. All right? Now, when they come to the door, close the door. At what house? Now, when he's writing, this is when the church had house churches, okay? So it isn't necessarily like, in other words, don't be rude at your home, okay? If they come to your home, this is one of the best things to do, all right? Be sweet, be kind. Don't be offensive with the truth, amen? Realize that the shoe could be on the other foot, right? But in their zeal for a lie and they come knocking and want to share their truth, the best thing to do is you need discernment, right? So when they knock, you know, what I typically will allow them to do is I'll say, oh man, I'm so grateful you're here. Do you need a bottle of water? Do you need anything to drink? Because it could be hot. And then I just say, well, would you like to step inside for just a moment? And they'll usually say yes. Their whole spiel, listen, it's built on this. They ask a question and you answer. And depending on what you say, then they go this way or that way. So don't get into that. What I lovingly say to them is, hey, listen, I tell you what, let's just do this. I'd never tell them I'm a Baptist pastor. They're gone. But I say, you know what? I tell you what, I'm going to give you 5 minutes. Tell me everything about your faith and particularly your God. And they don't have it ready to go because they're programmed, they're trained to ask you questions and then let you answer. And so let them go. And after they stumble about a minute and a half, you make a deal with them. You go 5 minutes, give me one. And the most important thing for you to share is how the truth has transformed your life. I was a wretched sinner. I had no hope. Don't glamorize sin. Just tell them you had no hope. You were dead in your trespasses and sin. And someone told you the truth about who Jesus is and what he's done. He came in the flesh. He lived the perfect life I could never live. He went and died on a cross and paid the penalty for all the stuff I've done in my flesh. He nailed it to the cross. He was buried. And on the third day, he arose again. And because I've repented of my sin and put my faith and trust in him, calling on him to save me, praise God, today I live with a new hope and a new life. And you can too. And then you say, let's pray. Father in heaven, I pray for them. Lord, I pray that you open their eyes and help them understand the reality of hell. Hell is real. And I pray, Father, they'll understand that there is hope in Christ. Just pray for them real quick. Don't let them talk back. All right? Be sweet. Tell them the truth in love. They need to hear it. They don't come bringing the truth. We would not open up the doors of the church, this house, to them, this pulpit to them. We would never do that. But if they come to your home, at least present the truth to them in love. It takes discernment. You've got to test the spirits. By the way, John said that in 1 John 4. The epistle before this. Hey, beloved, test the spirits. Make sure they're of God. Realize, you know, there's many false ones out there. And so be aware of that. Why? Because there's opposition to the truth out there. Having many things to write, I did not wish to do so with paper and ink, but I hope to come to you and speak face to face that our joy may be full. The children of your elect sister greet you. Amen. One day, beloved, we are going to gather together. Because we believe the truth. Amen. We look forward to that day. But while we're here, the test of whether you and I know the truth is our obedience. It's demonstrated, manifested as we maintain love for one another. And as we do it, let's engage the world of lies. They need to hear the truth before he comes back. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this very simple letter, but a very important one, Lord, especially in this day and age. Lord, we recognize the darkness that is around us. Father, we see how people's lives have been wrecked by lies. And so, Father, help us who know the truth, live the truth, love the truth, and learn the truth, share the truth with a world who desperately needs to hear it. Father, bless us as we go from this place, Lord, we are the pillar of the truth. Help us to hold it up. Help us to show it forth. Help us to flesh it out, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.